advantage for Sean Mackey to strike!
It's Calvin Miller against McGowan. Miller sends it in!
It's Miller time, baby! Champions again! Falkirk have broken through the glass ceiling! After 15 years in the wilderness, Falkirk Football Club has once again a Premiership club!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue, are you?
The first quarter is done, and the Bairns are 15 points the better and fifth in the league. 10 points out of the last five games. We are in La La Land, or should we say we are in Bairnsland. Hello, welcome to Falkirk Daft, your unofficial Falkirk Football Club podcast. I am your host, John McInally, and welcoming, as ever, the Ginger God of Pod himself, the one-man band in the main stand, Mr. Ross Wayne.
Good evening, sir. It's another happy podcast to talk about.
Yes, it is. Though I'm not too happy, Ross. You will see if you're watching the YouTube version, I am still at work because Celtic took it, didn't beat Rangers, so went to extra time, which means I've been stuck here for an extra hour. I'm chomping on the bit to get down the road, get my dinner, because I've not had that yet. So yes, it's going to be a quick podcast. We're going to rattle through it as quick as possible so I can go and get my tea, all right? So yeah, good to have you, Ross. How are you?
Good, mate. All good. Yep, no, just buzzing after yesterday. As you said, we're doing really well, joint third in the table, and I did last night check that my passport was still in date, so we're all good.
Oh, for God's sake, you're getting ahead of yourself. It's, you know, it's great to be up in fifth in the league, and we've done so well. I mean, when you look back, you know, I think everyone kind of targets kind of 10 points. I remember that being a Yogi match, was like 10 points a quarter, 10 points a quarter. That'll get you, hopefully keep you safe. So yeah, we're well ahead of where we should be, really.
We are, and I think I saw a stat online today. I can't remember if it was on X or Pine Bovril, but someone said for the last number of years, teams finishing in 10th basically finished anywhere between 35 and 40 points. Now, if we were to replicate what we've done so far, then we'd probably be finishing on more points than that. So listen, we just need to keep doing what we're doing. It is working in the most. We've had the odd game. We've had the odd 45 minutes. But I think almost every Bairns fan, if not every Bairns fan, should be really chuffed where we are now.
Absolutely, 100%. We're well ahead of where we should be, which is great news for us all. Before we get into the show, let's just talk briefly about Celtic on Wednesday night. We were both at the game enjoying the hospitality of, thank you very much to Radio Clyde for that. Managed to blag our way into hospitality. It was very plush, I have to say. Really enjoyed it.
It was. You can tell why they're able to charge what they charge. We were very well looked after. Obviously, the 90 minutes was a bit sore for us, but the pre and post side of the match was pretty perfect.
Yeah, I think obviously you get, when you go into hospitality, you get one of these gifts and all that. And I sort of said to, it was Anne-Marie, who was our waitress there on the night. I sort of said, listen, would you like this? Because I'm not going to use it. It was like a phone charger, a Celtic phone charger. And she's like, oh, thanks very much. I said, here's the deal, though. See, when my pint gets to half, you come and you fill it up. And she's like, yep. And then she's like, oh, would you like a bottle of wine? Yes, I would. Thank you, Anne-Marie. And then
it was very good.
Full time, she goes, what's your drinks order? Thanks very much, we'll get that down. And would you like another bottle of wine? Yes, we would. So I was a lot worse for on Thursday morning, obviously fuming at the result as well. But I mean, we made obviously substantial changes for that match, Ross, and obviously it paid off when it comes to Kilmarnock, which was the bigger game. But what did you make of Falkirk on Wednesday night?
I thought we started well. For the first half an hour, I thought we held our own. We had a couple of chances in that first 30 minutes as well. You do ask yourself, had we taken one of those chances, could it have been a different evening? We'll never know. But Scott Arfield obviously had a very, very good strike at goal. It's just a shame it went straight at Schmeichel. And then Trey, who actually, do you know, on the night I thought he's not done too much. But then when you watch the highlights back, where we did actually get up the park, He won a couple of headers. He obviously had that close range chance. Again, maybe a little bit guilty, same as Arfield. He could have probably put it to either side of Schmeichel, but I thought he did all right. It was, but as soon as Celtic scored, being honest, it felt inevitable that it was just going to be a Celtic win.
Yeah, no, it was. I mean, I think it was. I mean, some sloppy goals, I thought, that we actually gave away. Certainly, the third goal, you look at that. Scott Bain, probably looking back at, would have hoped he would have done better getting it around the post potentially. I think the Kenny header as well, it kind of went down in stages. It felt like he kind of went down in stages as well for that one. And then just defensive errors, I think, across the park. I was very happy, however, Tanetki's the goal that round up. Hendel goes in full belt to try and get him. Now, if Tanetki gets taken down, it's a straight red card for Hendel. So I was like, you know what? I'll take the fourth goal as long as it means Hendel's not getting suspended.
We both looked at each other at the time and thought, Christ, they scored
I
here.
know.
Because you're right, that would have been a straight red. He would have been missing Kilmarnock, potentially Livingston as well. So actually losing the goal wasn't, listen, the game was done. It's not as if it was nil-nil at the time. But yeah, a sore one. But as you said, the changes he made, he said that in his post-match interview. I actually just kind of wish he'd said it in his pre-match interview or the week before, and it might have saved 900 Falkirk fans getting too excited about the game because, like
I
Celtic
know it
always
was a
play tough.
strange one. Like afterwards, it was like, we what happens kind of happens, but like we shouldn't be going in with that mentality. And I'm sure John didn't go in with that mentality. It just felt like it was like almost like an excuse there at the end,
I do think, had they not had the managerial changes, I'm not convinced they would have won. As I'm not saying they wouldn't have won at all, but I don't think they would have won in the style that they did because there was a much better atmosphere. Like you and I were obviously in the home end, and the expectation prior to the managerial changes was that they were going to be getting booed. There was going to be a tense atmosphere. The crowd was probably not going to be that big. And in hindsight, it ended up being what 50-odd thousand there. There was a very loud home support, and as soon as they did get their noses in front, they kind of went with it.
Then it was, it is a shame, like, but I mean, like we always say, our season will not be defined of going to Parkhead and getting turned over 4-0,
No, it won't. But it is a sore one because you never want to get beat 4-0. Thankfully, though, it did not hamper us yesterday
No,
against
absolutely.
Kilmarnock.
Absolutely not. And we'll get into that game just in a bit with our guest pundit this week, James Duffy. Before we do that, we've got an announcement to make. We ran a competition on our socials with Matthew
Would.
J. Wood Design. J.I. Wood Design. Please follow him on Twitter. He does some amazing stuff and he's affiliated with the club now as well. So it's Matthew J. Jai J.I. Wood on Twitter. You can follow him, see his print designs. He's done an amazing one for like incorporating the Invincibles and the back-to-back champions. So it's an amazing print. We had that to give away. He's also done Invincible prints in the past. He's done kind of team prints and stuff. Really good stuff from Matthew. And if you'd like to follow him, like I say, if you get him on Twitter and he's on Instagram as well, Matthew with two T's, J.I. Wood, and you'll be able to get him and check out his stuff and does some great stuff. But we had a competition to win that Invincible stroke back-to-back champions print, and we have a winner, Ross.
We did, yeah, we had loads of entries actually. I think about 100 odd entries across Facebook and X, and picked a winner at random, and the winner was Derek Carswell. So really well done to Derek. Derek, just drop us a DM with your details and we will pass that over to Matthew and he'll get your print posted out to you as soon as he possibly
Yeah,
can.
I've got a couple of them. They're great. They're really good. I've got them in the house. So, no, well done, Derek. Congratulations. A couple of questions I threw on last week's show. First of all, I asked you, what's your favourite memory of Behind the Wall, who celebrate, of course, their 40th birthday this weekend?
Indeed, they do. Yes, I'm sure. Like, obviously, we were messaging Brian earlier on. He's hopeful of getting a bit of an update. But I did see a few things on social media over the weekend. Loads of people at Behind the Wall for various things, whether it was a meal, drinks, or otherwise. So great to see. But yeah, we did. We asked for some favorite memory, and Craig got in touch with us, and he not only had a favorite behind the wall memory, John, but he also had which player he would have in the team now as well. So he says the player I'd like to add to the current team would be Yogi. My favourite foreign player, because that was another question we talked about, would be Will Volkes. True, he is. He's a foreign to the game. He's not Scottish. Who would complement our current midfield majestically. And in terms of behind the wall memory, winching Colin Samuel after his hat trick against
Fabulous.
Hearts. I believe it's also his favourite behind the wall memory as well. And Craig finishes off with congrats, guys, on the 150 episodes.
Thank you very much, Craig. Yeah, all those questions I asked throughout last week. Ian got in touch saying, "Gents, you're making me feel old. I was there on the opening night behind the wall and been a regular ever since. Fantastic effort from Brian Flynn and for Falkirk Daft for supporting the pub as well. Looking forward to some celebrations in there in the future as well. So thanks very much for that, Ian. A couple other people getting in touch with just the kind of players you would like to see. Keep us going if you want, actually. What older players or past players would you like to see in the current Falkirk setup? Bonnie Unk said, surely Eddie May. He's got the best tackle at the Falkirk Stadium. There you go.
Well, yeah, he's now challenged by Leon McCann
if rumours are true, yeah. And Alan says, hey, we'd love to see Scott McKenzie in the current team. Yeah, that'd be an interesting one. You know, like, I think, you know, Scott, I always say Scott was that six before there was a six kind of thing, you know, did all the stuff off the ball, you know, won the tackles, did all the dirty stuff, and Scott was brilliant in that. I look forward to actually speaking about that whole thing when he is our guest at Falkirk Daft Live. Another ticket still available. Scott McKenzie, Brian Rice are going to be on stage at Behind the Wall November the 29th. That's happening. The link for tickets is below. Limited left, Ross. There's limited tickets left. We've sold a couple over the week, but listen, there's a few tickets left. So if you want to come on, make it your Christmas night out. Why not? If you're like at a workplace with loads of other Falkirk supporters, why don't you make it your Christmas night? Because we've probably got enough to do a Christmas night out. So pop along, come down the wall, 29th of November. We've got a very secret Santa. We've also, who I saw yesterday, actually, there's a clue. And then obviously Scott McKenzie, Brian Rice is going to be on stage, and we're hoping for maybe a first team player to pop along as well. So yes, fingers crossed that happens. It's going to be a great night, and we've got the final, of course, on the night of the F Factor, and we've had a few entries in for that, Ross.
We have indeed. So I will get my mic at the ready, John. So yeah, the first one we had in, we did preempt this one last week. Prince and Pints guru Gordon Hall himself, we did say he had sent us over, but we insisted on a voicemail, didn't we, John? So that he has sent one over. So this entry is from Mr. Gordon Hall.
Yo, you probably think this song is about you. You're Scott Bain.
There you go. He's just done it nice and short there, hasn't he? He's not really went for it there. He's
no,
just
he went
nice,
straight into the chorus.
Yeah, straight to the chorus. No, thank you, Gordon. Like that one a lot. Have you got any more there, Ross?
We do, Jess. So, now, Fraser has said he doesn't want us to give it off his surname. However, anyone that knows Fraser, I'm sure they will recognise his voice. Now, it does come in saying he did hope before he sent this in that Brian Graham might have got on the goal scoring chart more than he has. So I will play it now. So this one is from Fraser.
Young man, there's no need to feel down. I said, young man, get yourself to the ground. I say, young man, now we're in the top league. There's no need to be unhappy, young man. Try out the fan zone, I said, young man. If you're there on your own, try the KM. And you're sure to find plenty bairns singing at gate 20. Do, 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 do. It's fun to play when you're Brian Graham. It's fun to play when you're Brian Graham. He's got everything, like Inspector Gadget. That's why he's banging them in the net. It's fun to play when you're Brian Graham. And so it goes on. Thank you, cheers, guys. Bye.
I like that phrase. I don't think we need the verse at the start. I just think that it's fun to put, you know, we do go straight to the Brian
Graham. Straight to the chorus, yeah.
Inspector Gadget. Well, we need to think of a better rhyme, but Inspector Gadget is going over a lot of young supporters' heads, but I love that phrase. They're superb. And then we've got one here. I think I've got one here from Kerry, who sent us this after we asked them. Come on, Kerry.
Right, guys, since you asked for voice recordings, here we go. I'm not the best singer, but I'll give him my best shot. So the first one is to If I Only Had a Brain from the Wizard of Oz, and it's for our goalkeeper, Scott Bain.
Mm-hmm.
So here it goes. Other teams wouldn't be so jealous watching on from the terrace as he saves again and again. Wondering how they can't get past him even though they tried to smash them if they only had Scott Bain. He's the Falkirk number one, cheered on by the ultras drum as he saves again and again. He's a Bearing shortstopper, even in the top right corner. We are glad we've got Scott Bain.
Very good, Kerry. Yeah. And you know what? He's got two songs. We're going to save the second one for next week on F Factor. Yeah. But well done, guys. Smash it out of the park, as ever, on the F Factor. And the final will be happening on the 29th at Falkirk Daft Live 6 at Behind the Wall. It's the Christmas party edition of Falkirk Daft Live, so looking forward to that. Let's go into Birthday Corner now, Ross. And you've got an apology to make, haven't you?
I do. I'm really sorry to Mr. Scott Arfield, because last week, and it was my fault, I did say that he was turning the ripe old age of 38 this week. However, we've done him dirty. He was only 37. So happy birthday to Mr. Scott Saturday Night Arfield, who was 37, just to clarify, 37.
And that was actually at the Kilmarnock game. Just a shame he couldn't get a goal to make his birthday complete, but I'm sure he was delighted with the result yesterday. We actually had John Harding in the lounge yesterday, the 1876 lounge, and John was in. Actually, Jimmy Gilmore and Willie McGuire were in yesterday as well. Brilliant to see Jimmy Gilmore at the stadium. Obviously asked him about, you know, the fact that we still sing songs about Jimmy Gilmore to this day. You know, he's got supporters buses named after it, and he was loving life. I didn't realise that Jimmy was the nephew of Jimmy Johnson. Did not realise that until I spoke to him about it yesterday.
Didn't know that either. Oh, wow.
There you go. So Jimmy Gilmore, the wine plate obviously runs in the family, because we were talking about obviously the goal he scored against Celtic to kind of keep us up. And he was, you know, I was taking your family weren't very happy with it. And he was talking about obviously Jimmy not being happy with that as well. So, they go. But John was in the lounge yesterday. So happy birthday to John from Carolyn and the kids.
Fantastic. And another person who I believe was in the lounge yesterday was his mate Chris Sinclair. Now Chris has recently turned 40, and him and his good lady wife are also expecting their very own junior bairn in April 2026. So happy 40th birthday to Chris Sinclair.
Happy birthday to Lindsay Allison. That's love from Gail and Jack.
Indeed. You mentioned there the Jimmy Gilmore, so a happy birthday to the Jimmy Gilmore shuttle regular, Mr. James Bankier, bang bang, as they say. And that's from all the boys in the show.
And finally, on Birthday Corner, happy 11th birthday on the 4th of November to Rory Scott. That's from your dad, Gareth, mum, Lindsay, both ex-Behind the Wall staff as well. There you go. I'm sure they've got a few memories from Behind the Wall. And twins, Ailey and Finlay. Oh, that's the name. How very strange. That's the name of my two children.
That is very
Ailey
spooky,
and Finlay as well. So that's really, really spooky. So there you go. Ailey and Finlay, happy birthday to you as well. There you go, Rory. Happy birthday. Have a good one. Bairn's birthdays this week. Sean Mackey. It's on the 4th of November. He's turning 27 up at Ross County. I'd heard rumours he was out till the end of the season, but I believe that's been refuted. And I think I don't know if he's actually fit and able playing for Ross County again.
I don't think he's back yet. Yeah, we did hear that rumour, didn't we? I think it originated from a County fan on social media. However, I noticed that Ben, who's the chief sports reporter for the Falkirk Herald, quizzed John McGlynn at a press conference about 3-4 weeks ago, and John McGlynn went, "Oh, I don't know who your contact is, but he's talking rubbish." So that's obviously not true. But I think John McGlynn said at the time he might be 3 or 4 weeks. So best wishes, obviously, as to Sean as well.
Yeah, Connor Salmon, his birthday is in November the 6th. He's turning 39. Big Connor. I always thought, like, in a McGlynn side, Connor Salmon would have been a lot more potent. You know, obviously left. He's still playing for Awa. You know, he used to score a lot. Remember, he scored the two goals against us to put in the end of the Invincible season that almost brought an end to that. But thank God for the Aidan Nesbitt and Brad Spencer.
Absolutely. No, massive, massive shout out to the two guys, because they did save our bacon that day. I think you're right, Connor. I think we'd have been maybe 5 years younger I don't mean now, but like 5 years younger in general. I think him and a McGlinsey side probably would have done a ton. A bit like maybe the position that Brian Graham finds himself in, because Connor did score a lot of goals.
Yeah, we'll talk about him a bit. November the 8th, which is my dad's birthday as well. There you go. My dad shares his birthday with Crunchy. That's incredible stuff. Well, happy birthday to Kevin McAllister, who's turning 63 on the 8th of November. And he also shares his birthday with Ian Westwater and former Bairn and winger Neil McCann.
Neil McCann was very complimentary about Falkirk on Sports Scene last night, actually, wearing a very random cardigan. But he was very, very complimentary. Calvin Miller, especially.
He does. I guess Neil would be quite impressed with Calvin and the way he plays, because he's played in a similar way. Again, at the Bairns, I met Neil McCann at a Bruce Springsteen concert once, and he was steaming. I was at the bar and I was just like, turned around and I was like, Neil McCann, I was steaming as well, obviously. Turn around, Neil McCann, Falkirk legend. And then we got banter about Falkirk a wee bit. And then he goes, when's Bruce going to start playing All the Gidgeons? I'm like, he's just played Thunder Road, Neil. What more do you want? That's one of the greatest songs ever put. He was just waiting for Born in the USA. Springsteen, you know, he didn't obviously know Springsteen as well as I did. But happy birthday to Neil McCann and Crunchy, of course. And then on November the 9th, Mills Hippolyte and Samuel Omprion. Is Samuel Omprion still a footballer? Because he was never a footballer.
I don't think he is. My last memory of him was when he put a post up on Instagram and he was walking about South London in his full Falkirk kit, which was very random. Very random.
And the Hippo's still kicking a ball. I think he was at Enky Dons last time I checked.
He's doing all right down south.
I watched him in but he was in a playoff game in Wembley. I was like, is that the Hippo playing at Wembley? Amazing.
Yeah, no, he's done well.
Yeah, so he's turned 31 on the November the 9th, so there you go. Bits and bobs of club news before we get into the game as well. Scott Bairn is, I'm sure that's not a typo, but that's definitely what we should call him. Scott Bain, or Scott Bairn, that's what he's now going to be known as.
It was a typo.
He won Player of the Month this weekend. I think he got presented in the fan zone yesterday, Ross.
I saw a couple of pictures, it looks like he was given a very, very warm welcome by the regulars in the fan zone. I think I saw the shuttle boys actually having a group photo with him. So, no, listen, he's been very consistent. I know we mentioned Wednesday night there, but listen, he's saved more than he's let in. And there's a little bit of chatter, probably not come to anything, but there's a little bit of chatter that, especially with Angus Gunn pulling up injured, that he might get a call up to the Scotland squad.
Well, I think it's 100% he should be. When you look at, there's only two Scottish goalkeepers playing in the Scottish Premiership at the moment, Scott Bain being one of them, McCracken being the other one. And you see some of the saves that Scott Bain has made this season. He had one particularly, a really good save yesterday. His distribution is phenomenal. By the way, we were sitting there yesterday, me and I was sitting next to Pal Sinke yesterday as well, and we were just talking about how good his distribution is. It's incredible. You know, and in the modern goalkeeper, that's what a lot of managers look for. But not only that, he's a great shot stopper as well. I mean, he was probably at fault in his own mission for that one at Celtic Park. But aside from that, he's been brilliant at the back for us this season.
He has. He's been so, so consistent. And I know I say this all the time, but I think we should be so, so chuffed that we've got two very, very, very competent goalkeepers. Nice touch yesterday. I know we probably not come to it in the game, but Nicky, because Scott Bain did go down at one point injured.
Yeah.
Nicky went round to the Kevin McAllister for a warm-up. And the full stand. In fact, a chunk of the main stand as well were chanting his song. So
it was good.
He'll be desperate for a kickabout, though. He'll be desperate for a game.
Yeah, I walked past him the other day there. He was up in Carraird as well. So I sometimes walk past him and don't know what to say. I'm almost like a wee boy. I'm just like, oh, no, it's Nicky Hogarth. Look at that. But there you go. Scott Bain would be amazing. He'd be the first Falkirk player since Darren Barr to be capped for, well, to be called up to a Scotland squad. I mean, Dan Barr obviously came off the bench against Northern Ireland. I was there. I the only reason I went to that Scotland game was in the hope that Darren Barr got on the pitch as a Falkirk player, and it happened. So I was absolutely delighted with that. So fingers crossed, Scott Gaines. He absolutely 100% deserves it. So watch this space on that one. Falkirk Football Podcast is out now. The official one, not the unofficial nonsense that you listen to on here. Jamie Swinney, Tom Angus, and Keith Gourlay talking about the AGM. After the results were published last week. So, yeah, and Colin was on last night, last week, and he does a great job on it.
He does. No, Colin's a great guy, and he did a very good job hosting and controlling us two last week as well. No, I've not actually had a chance to listen to it. That's on the agenda for me this week because I had quite a busy week last week. So, but I'm looking forward to hearing about it. There might be a few tidbits there that we've not seen in the official AGM press release. So, because do you know what? Colin is not a member of staff at the club. He asks his own questions. And he gets some really good answers, so looking forward to listening to that.
The professional that he is, not
He
like
is
us
indeed.
two dafties on here. We've mentioned Behind the Wall, but remember the 40th anniversary is just gone. But they still do all the usual stuff at Behind the Wall, and they still have spaces on the Falkirk Daft Carling coach for the Livingston game. It's £5 return, and we obviously get your pint on return as well. So if you're not heading to the stadium, get up to Behind the Wall, jump on the bus. Get down there, get your pint on return. It's only £5. Drop your name, give Behind the Wall, get your name behind the bar, and you'll be able to pick up your tickets on Saturday for that. And check out everything that's going on Behind the Wall, behindthewall.co.uk. The Falkirk Daft Venom is still on sale there, so get that into you as well. Right, but let's talk about Kilmarnock now, and it was another 3 points for the Bears. And let's talk about it in the company of a man who's been on the podcast before. It's James Duffy.
Hello, how are you?
Hi. Very well, James. Very well, James. Big question before we get into obviously the big questions about the match yesterday. What do you put in your stovies? Because me and Ross were talking before the show, and he goes for square sausage and I go for links.
In stovies? I've only ever had corned beef stovies, kind of hash kind of stuff. I've never been a stovies guy, boys. Must admit, never been a stovies
guy.
It's
winter, man. You've got to get the stovies out.
Well, see, the thing is, I've heard corned beef as well. I think that's more of an East Coast thing, and I've heard obviously square sausage. John, for the life of me, I have never heard anyone say they've used sausages in stovies.
Maybe I should put the recipe below.
I was just about to ask.
Put the recipe in the links below. But please let us know how you do yours. It's another YouTube question, Ross. We're going again. Let us know how you do your stovies below.
Are you saucing your stovies though?
Oh, absolutely, 100% brown sauce all over it.
Oh no, ketchup.
Yeah, I'm
Get
a ketchup guy. Ketchup. Yeah,
John, you need your hard drive checked.
I can almost understand tomato sauce with corned beef, but Ross, I'm not having that in stovies.
Of course. No, it's a red sauce.
Get in the bin. There you go. Get your story comments in below.
there's the title for this week's podcast.
How do you take your stories? Actually, you might as well. Right, brilliant. James, thanks for joining.
No,
you've been on before, but I'm going to ask you a random question. In fact, I'm going to go back to one of the questions we asked last week. Which player, apart from the big three, would you think would fit best into the current Falkirk side? Putting you on the spot, James.
Paddy Craig, probably. Then again, we've got plenty of that.
See, Paddy Craig, actually, you know, like, obviously, kind of Cartwright does that kind of an authority role, but Paddy Craig actually is a great shout, I think.
I'll tell that back. I'm not going to mention the one that's in jail as much as he was good, but Daryl Duffy, I would love back.
Yeah. That's a good shout.
In his prime, with us before he moved on.
He would work really well in off the shoulder because he was decent in the air as well, Daryl, from what I can remember.
Yeah.
He scored a few goals with his head. So I think that's a decent shout.
And then Andrew Thompson, they had a brilliant partnership.
That's when they were playing up front again. Actually, Daryl was meant to be in the 1876 lounge yesterday, but he pulled out. So hopefully, maybe we could get him for a Falkirk Daft Live. I think Daryl Duffy would be quite a good
one. He would be good. I think he'd be really good. He's played abroad as well, so he'd probably...
I count up the amount of clubs that Daryl Duffy has played for because I expect it to be an orange. He's played for like 16 different clubs across the world. In fact, I don't think he was playing up until recently. In his Wikipedia, it still has that he's playing, but I don't think he is. There you go. So, yeah, that's a good one.
I've got his number on the back of an old Falkirk top with my spelling of the name, but his number just to...
Brilliant.
Ah, I like it.
Love that. But yeah, there you go. Good shout, James. Thank you for that. Let's talk about the game against Kilmarnock yesterday. It was Falkirk 3, Kilmarnock 1. 4 changes from Wednesday night, Ross.
Yeah, we expected some changes as well, didn't we? Because obviously John McGlynn had mixed up the team. He seems really passionate about, and I get it because he's right. I can't remember if it was the post-match Celtic or pre-match Kilmarnock that he talked about it, but it went harked back to the Hibs midweek game. We then went to Tynecastle on the Saturday and we were dog meat, and I think he put that down to playing the same sort of team 4 days apart. So
Yeah.
it makes sense. We do have a big squad.
Talented squad as well.
And I think it's, yeah, you're right. We the players that are there, they will be expecting some minutes. And I think the changes that came in were what we were hoping for, because obviously Cartwright's been playing phenomenally when he came in, when he's been playing. The Wilson and Williams combo in the wings with Calvin in the middle has just been working so well. And I'm hoping he's not injured. We'll talk about it. But Ross McKeever coming back in made a lot of sense as well.
Yeah, you happy with those changes, James?
Yeah, I mean, I've never been Ross's biggest fan, I'm afraid.
Oh, really?
Me or Ross McKeever?
Or Ethan Ross? It could be right.
No, it's not Ethan. No, I love Ethan. I'd marmoned Ethan at Montrose and told him to stay, and thankfully he listened.
Well, we've got you to thank then. Thank you very much,
personally,
James.
Just me. Yeah, that's it.
All everyone, just thank James next time you see him.
Thank you. I don't think he's had the best year. I'm maybe a very small percentage of Falkirk fans that think that, but I've never been all the way with Ross. I would like to give the younger guy a go. But the other three were, yeah, absolutely. I like having Cartwright and Dylan and Brad, although Brad plays every game, but I like having Dylan and Henry Cartwright in there just to change things up a little bit. Both brilliant players, offer a little bit different, but while still retaining the same structure of the team. So, but no, I thought the changes were right.
Yeah, I actually thought, I mean, I was discussing this yesterday. I think when Cartwright goes in alongside Brad's better, because I think Brad and Dylan do very similar things, but Cartwright's a very different midfielder in terms of more of an enforcer, gets in about it and then lets Brad be Brad. If you know what I mean, I do think Brad's better. I love Dylan, and you know, we talk about him coming in onto the game yesterday and the energy he brings. But I do think in midfield, Henry Cartwright lets Brad be a bit more Brad.
I can understand that. I think the midfield is an evolving midfield, and it'll depend who we play as well. Because like, some teams just haven't let Brad Spencer play, and
Yeah.
that's when I think there was some criticism at some times saying, "Oh, Brad's not a good game." I think Brad's been at 8 out of 10 almost every game. Right. The difference is when teams do target him, we then don't go through him. We have to play a different way. And I think you're right. I think both Henry and Dylan, they're both brilliant midfielders. We're so blessed that we can bring both of them on or in at any one time. And you did see that yesterday, the energy that Dylan brought on. He's a tenacious player. He gets in and about their faces. But Henry does exactly the same thing. And I just think it's so good that we can. And I'm sure the boys would be desperate to start every game. But I think we've got such a blend there that why not use them the way we are?
Yeah, and the wingers coming back in as well. Obviously, you know, Williams and Wilson bring so much of energy to the team, and you know that, as I said, I think on last week's show as well, you can just tell the difference with them in their touch. It's their touch. Wilson and Williams' touch is unbelievable how they pull it out the air. They're very different to, you know, what Ross and kind of Miller offer us, but I think just footballing wise in the brain, and obviously Williams comes from the Man United academy. You can see why.
You can tell the coaching that they've had and
Yeah.
since they've been kids has been much better than maybe some of our guys have had. But yeah, they're doing really, really well. I'm sad that that Calvin and Ethan being injured, obviously, they're my preferred two. The cutting insides that they like to do is always doing well. But yeah, Calvin's doing great in the 10 just now. Ethan and Kyrell on the wings have been doing really well. I'd like to see Ethan overlap a bit. He was a bit slow catching up with the play a couple of times yesterday, Saturday, sorry. No, it was yesterday. And a couple of times I've seen that against Dundee as well, was he just needs to get past the left back's coming through. He needs to get past him a bit more. He's kind of labours behind a couple of times, but no, he's been brilliant. I'm not trying to take that away from him. Just a few extra bits and pieces need to be the full thing for us.
No, absolutely. But I mean, we started off the game, Ross. We were absolutely out of the traps, full pace yesterday, and God, we didn't have to wait long for the first goal.
No, and it was a real high intensity from kickoff. I think the crowd saw that. We've been begging for a first half performance, because like we've had moments in first halves, we've just not been kind of keeping it up for 45 minutes. But boy, did we keep it up for 45 minutes yesterday. And
Yeah.
as you said, the intensity, you just knew something was going to happen pretty early.
Yeah, and that goal happened really, really early, James, with Ethan Williams after, a really good team move. I don't think we actually saw. I think in that all the highlights I've saw it didn't show the kind of build up to the move because I thought it was some really slick passing before, Calvin Miller slipped Ethan Williams in.
Yeah, and that was his second chance to slip him into whether if he'd been a bit less greedy, he could have had him in before, and we could have had a goal earlier than that. But no, it was a great little reverse pass, kind of cut them wide open, and he took it past the goalkeeper like he wasn't even there. It was just it was
That
an brilliant.
pass timing
Oh yeah,
was superb, wasn't it? The
yeah.
timing of the pass, bloody hell.
Yeah, I know, and like, but then we had I hate VAR, but again, it helped us this time, because the linesman had flagged for it and he checked it, and he was on by a ball hair,
Yeah,
absolute ball hair.
if his toenails were a bit longer, they would have been offside, onside, sorry. It was you could tell it was really tight how long it was taken, and it's the kind of first time you'd be like, right, we could be getting this here because it was taking so long, and yeah, it was nice to get one.
Do you know the
Yep.
bonus is you get two celebrations? That's the flip side, isn't it?
That was it. But then I didn't really celebrate the first time because I
It's
thought
cut short quick, isn't it?
I didn't really celebrate because I thought I looked off to me. Where we sit behind the dugouts, you saw Stephen McGinn looking up to the video guys, and they gave it the thumbs down. So we were, oh, it's not happening. But then obviously, like Ross says, you get the chance to celebrate again when it gets announced, isn't it? It was a great, well done from Ethan Williams. You don't see that often now. Players go try to go by the goalkeeper. It's a very rare art now of people taking it by. Usually, they'll try and hit it first time or whatever, but great to see that.
Do you not think most players in our team would have hit it first time? Like say Calvin or Ross or maybe even Kyle were through. I think they would have hit it first time. But Ethan just he looked up, he saw the keeper's dodgy anyway. I reckon they talked to each other. Like they would have said, listen, we played this guy last year. He's a bit manic. He's out his box constantly. He's a bit erratic as well. Let's just kind of pile pressure on him. And they did, which paid off.
No,
The
the keeper is. I don't understand how he's playing Premier League football because last year at
I
Dunfermline he was ropey, and I realized when he walked out at the beginning of the match, like was that not the boy that was at Dunfermline last year? Aye, is I. How is he playing in the Premier League? He was awful.
know. I agree.
Aye, absolutely, absolutely. He has some kick in him though.
He does. He's like
So.
he's a big guy. He's a big guy, but I think he thinks he's better than he is. Like he will never play for Celtic. I'm just telling you that now. He will never play for Celtic first team. But you can tell he thinks he's brilliant, and I think that's his downfall.
He spelled three yesterday that should have been easy takes. One of them was a goal, which I'm sure we'll get to. But he's yeah, we should have been on him every follow-up because he was dropping them all.
I agree.
So yeah, brilliant goal from Ethan Williams, and we didn't have to wait long until the second came. And he had a wee tester, I think, before it when Ross McKeever, your favourite player, James, fired one just wide. But again, it just goes to show when you shoot, you never know what's going to happen. And like we talked about the goalkeeper, Kyrell cuts inside, gets a left-footed shot, keeper spills it, and Ross is there doing what every great striker does. And it's a lost art, following up and being able to put the ball in the net.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, no, but as you said, Johnny, he followed up really, really well, far quicker than the Kilmarnock defender did anyway. And it wasn't the cleanest of strikes. I didn't notice it at the time, but you watch it back and he's kind of hit it right into the turf. Well, not the turf, but
That's what all good strikers do, hit in at
exactly.
the ground.
But it went in and we were coasting really well. You could sense the Kilmarnock players were distraught, the fans. A couple of them I noticed were heading towards, I don't know if they were heading to the exit or just the pie hut, but what about you, James? What was your thoughts with the second goal?
I had the fear of death in me because I thought he didn't celebrate in any meaningful way. And
Yeah,
I
it
had
was
a
a
fear of
strange one,
death in me.
wasn't
Like,
it?
does he think he's offside? What's happened here? It was a bit of mooted celebration. Even the highlights, even Henry's not celebrating that much. It was, fair
No.
enough. But no, it was, as I said earlier, that goalkeeper just needed pepper with shots, and he was always going to spill them. Luckily, Ross was there this time to pop it in. And no, it was a good feeling being 2-0 up within, 24, 25 minutes. It was something that doesn't happen too often, never mind in the Premiership. So it was great.
Yeah, no, it was, and then 2-0 up, and then we looked like we put our foot right down at that point as well, and we were at Kilmarnock. Kilmarnock just didn't know how to deal with Falkirk.
They didn't. They were all over the place. And I think Stuart Kettlewell talks about it in his post-match interview that they just couldn't live with us. He did. He had made changes. I saw there were some Kilmarnock fans pre-game saying, "Oh, great, here we go again." I think he tinkered about with the formation constantly, and that seems to be a bit of a problem. Whereas at least we've got a settled style, if not starting 11. But yeah, they just couldn't handle us, and what a move in goal for number three.
Yeah, but they were poor. I mentioned to the guys that sit about me that I was surprised how poor that Kelly looked. Being all the plaudits that they have had at some part of the season, their big number nine up front was scarily tall, but offered very, very little. So it didn't surprise
Even
me
the
he
way
was
his
hooked.
headers, we were saying that, Conor Allan was, we thought was going to be in for a hard time against that guy. But like, even when he was winning headers, they weren't significant. He
No.
didn't do much with it either.
Even Hendo was looking up at him, and that was how tall he was, so
I
it
know.
was interesting. But no, I was surprised how poor they were. And yeah, it was only a matter of time. There was a lot of probably shots, and I love the fact that we're shooting. I mean, something we've been lacking a bit. There was maybe a wee extra pass with the players that we've got, and the overlaps that we've got. Maybe a wee extra pass instead of shooting would have been the better option. But hindsight's great. It was only a matter of time by the looks of it.
Yeah, but before the goal though, Ross McKeever obviously went off injured, and Brian Graham was really, really important in that goal, because I thought when Brian Graham came on yesterday, he was excellent. I thought he didn't lose a header, he didn't miss a header really, and he obviously got that flick on for Ethan Williams. Scott Bain goes direct, Brian gets a flick on, Williams is through. Another assist for Williams, which takes him to the three for the season as well. And Calvin Miller just does Calvin Miller things.
Four touches, goal.
Yeah.
Simple as that. It's when it happens like that, you think, why can't we do that all the time? That's just not how it works.
No.
I know a sports scene kind of pulled apart the left centre half, who was miles out. I think he was tracking Kyrell at the other side. So they're putting it down to bad positioning. But listen, brilliant ball from Scott Bain. Flick on, which Brian got constantly. He was winning every header, and then Ethan just perfect timing, and Calvin running through and nutmegging an ex-Pars goalie is always a dream.
No, absolutely, absolutely. But yeah, 3-0 go to the good, into the half time. Brilliant feeling for the first time this season to be walking into the concourse at half time with a smile on your face.
I was speaking to the guys again, and we didn't remember being 3-0 up in the Premier League at home. And if my research is right, we have never been 3-0 up at home in the Premier League. We've been
Wow.
3-0 up away twice, Dunfermline and Motherwell, but we looked it up and we can't find any 3-0 home in the Premier League. So there's a wee trivia
Jeez.
question for MD that's around that can maybe answer
Wow.
that. I don't think we've been 3-0 up at home in the Premier League ever.
At the end of first half, or
Just
just
ever.
ever? Damn.
I
Some
remember
stat out
some,
there is going to do you here, James.
and I'm thrilled to be proved wrong, but
The
that we
only
can't find one.
scoreline I can remember bigger at home, and but it might, I don't know what the score gap was at any point, but I remember beating Dundee United
5
5-1
1, yeah.
sometime. How the score was, I have no idea. Can't remember.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a brilliant shout out. It can't have been many at all.
Yeah, there you go. Good stats there, James. But I mean, the second half, it wasn't going to continue like the first half did, because Kilmarnock obviously quite rightly made three changes at half time, and obviously bringing on the goal scorer, John Jules, who is the cousin of Danny John Jules of the Cat from Red Dwarf fame.
Is he?
Yes!
Wow.
What a
Okay.
fact that is. So Tyrese Jones-Jules, who came off the bench for Kilmarnock at half-time, is the cat from Red Dwarf's cousin.
Pretty sure I
Amazing
signed John
fact.
Jules from my fantasy, my football manager team one year.
I did all right. He did all
Yeah.
right. I mean, I thought actually, you know, in fairness to Kilmarnock, they got a hold of the second half, you know,
They
and they
did.
were far, by probably the better team in the second half, if you know.
Yeah, they shaded it for sure. Yeah. Much improved.
I thought David Watson and I thought Scott Tiffany were decent for them, actually. I thought the two kind of standouts for
Their left
Kilmarnock.
hand side for me was their standouts, the left back and whoever moved to the left in the second
Yeah,
half.
I
They
think
were
it was
getting a
Tiffany,
bit of
yeah.
joy. Keelan was trying to be dinks round outside and getting caught out, and I think the left hand side of their attack was most dangerous in the second half. But
You know, we did that. I mean, I'm thinking of the you know, you look back at actually when you mentioned Adams, I remember that you know the chance in the first half as well when he kind of went through and Brian Graham was just moaning at him. I don't think there's a moanier player than Brian Graham. We I talked about it
no.
last week. Him and Simon Murray must have just been who jinks the moaniest, Simon Murray or Brian Graham. I'd hate to play with Brian Graham because he'd always be on it. Yeah, I think he's always on it, everyone.
The
No.
stills from sorry, Ross. Just the stills for Brian Graham. I think it's the Henry Cartwright goal against Rangers and the Conor Allen goal. There's stills of him with his hands in the air, screaming for the ball, like really angry. And of course, both of them straight in the net.
Spookily, James, is exactly what I was going to talk about, and it was yesterday's third goal. Because when you watch, just before Ethan Williams plays Calvin Miller, and maybe bear in mind Brian is like three men round him, he's got his arms out like this, give me the ball, give me the ball.
I love that.
What is this guy on? But listen, that's the enthusiasm that keeps him playing at his
Yeah.
age,
His
and
face changes really quickly when the goal goes in, so it's fine.
No, absolutely. You know, it's great to have, like, you know, like I say, I thought when he came off the bench, he offered us a lot from that. You know, and he'll get goals. Brian will get goals, but yeah, in the second half, you know, he didn't see much of the ball, and you know, we didn't have really much to write home about apart from the Calvin Miller chance when he kind of dinked inside and curled it just over the bar. That was probably the only chance, but got again highlight. We talked about him earlier on as a potential Scotland call up. Scott Bain, two brilliant saves, the second one especially.
He was phenomenal again. Yep, he just seems to be in the right place at the right time. That's his thing. His positional knowledge is really, really key. And I think yesterday he had another really good couple of saves, as you said, John. Listen, I don't think he could have helped. Like, he was fouled at the goal that they got chopped off, obviously. And I don't think there was much he could have done with our actual goal from Tyrese, but he between him and Nicky, I keep saying it, I sound like a broken record. We've got two very, very competent goalkeepers there, and that is phenomenal.
Yeah, for
Yeah.
sure. I mean, the goal that they scored that wasn't a goal was definitely a foul. And when Nicky was warming up to potentially replace him, we were talking. It's like, I really feel sorry for Nicky because, you know, he did really well last year, but
Yeah.
Bain's been brilliant. And then literally within 2 or 3 minutes, he saved two or three fantastic saves, kept us in the game, or kept
Yeah.
us ahead in the game. And he's like, well, we both looked at each other going, well, yeah, that's why we've got Scott Bain. So, yeah,
Right, exactly.
the right decision has been made to who to play, but you do feel for Nicky.
Scott Bain for Scotland. That's what we're saying here in
There's
Falkirk
worse out
Daft.
there.
Absolutely. You know, like we talk about defensive performance. We did all right defensively, I think. And I just want to again highlight Conor Allen, how well he's played. I said yesterday, it reminds me in the way he kind of reads the game and the way he plays the game, a wee bit like Darren Barr, because he's not the most biggest, he's not the most physical of centre backs, but he reads the game really, really well. And I again was really impressed with him at centre half yesterday.
Yeah, for sure. He's stepped into the team and made a real difference. You know, you're always nervous when a young player comes in, particularly one that's never played in the league before. I don't think he played for Rangers, certainly. And obviously to do what he did last week and then have a nice, solid performance yesterday, maybe turned his back a little bit on the goal that they scored. But, you know, other than that, he was really solid, good 6, 7 out of 10, and yeah. Keep that it's his shirt to lose. There's no
Yeah.
reason why MD should be taking his place right now, and long may it continue.
You know, rumours that Rob Edwards, formerly of
I've
Dundee
seen that, yeah.
United, coming in this week. But I mean, he's not kicked a ball since April. You know, we don't know when Colby. I saw Colby Donaldson yesterday. Actually, he was in the stand watching the game. As was Barney Stewart, by the way.
Seen him, yeah.
Was in the game, in the stands watching the game yesterday. But I spoke to Colby yesterday just briefly. Just said, I just passed him at half time. He said, I was like, what a first half that was. He said, it's one of the best he's seen from the team as well. But I don't, you know, we don't know when Col or Tom or Lewis are going to be back. So it's probably worth having an option there.
I think so. I think
it's a short term, even if it's like a short term deal.
Take him to mid January or whatever the case may be. And then we'll know what's happening with Lewis Nielsen. We'll know what's happening with Col, Tom. And you're obviously halfway through the transfer window as well. But listen, he's got lots of experience. He was very, very well thought of at Dundee United, has been playing overseas. However, if it is just a short-term deal, I don't think, like James said, I don't think he comes in as a starter. I assume he will be on
just
the bench
back up.
And back
be cover, up. Yeah.
But because I guess the only defensive cover you've got at the moment is shuffling the pack and putting Adams in at centre half. Because there's no other real option at the moment, is there? If we have defence. And like we were saying, Ross, if Liam had got sent off against Celtic for that fourth goal, we would have been in real trouble against Kilmarnock. Oh,
massively. Would have been humped. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but you know, second half, Kilmarnock came into it. They were always going to just a wee bit, you know, you feel that disappointment where you think, oh, we've just lifted the foot off the gas, you know, and I thought Dylan Tate, when he came on, really reignited the energy in the team, you know, and Dylan always brings that anyway. But yeah, he kind of reignited the fire a wee bit.
Great to see Ethan and Dylan coming on. Because, and it's not to say that Alfie, I don't enjoy Alfie coming on. I don't
like Alfie.
Not a lot of work for him when he came on yesterday.
It was a very Alfie, you know, he didn't have the greatest, you know, when he went through as well yesterday, Alfie. And it was
that shot,
bit of a panic shot, but yeah.
And then Brian was there again going, get me the ball!
But he chased everything down, which is what he was on the field to do.
Exactly,
he did make a mistake at one of them, and he was haranguing them for the rest. So he was doing what he was being asked to do, just run, and put pressure on them, and he did it.
Yeah, you know, Dylan again had a great ball across as well for Brian Graham as well. It was a beautiful cross in.
That was a beautiful ball from our angle behind the ground as well. And that was a perfect height for Brian Graham to just get the wee touch, on and just
keep it in the right place.
But listen, it was, you know, despite the second half, you know, just we won the game in the first half. We really did. You know, you always have that worry in the back of your mind, but I don't think, you know, Kilmarnock didn't majorly threaten us. I don't think, you know, two good saves from Scott Bain, but
yeah.
And the goal they obviously had ruled off. I went to VAR, but I don't think that anyone would have any major
complaints. It was way offside. It was way off. Yeah.
Yeah, and the goal
and
the foul on Scott Bain
as well. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He bars them out of the way and then pleaded his innocence. It was mad. It was definitely a free kick. But I hate the referee when he gives a free kick, still points towards a halfway.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Is that a goal? Is it? No, it was fine.
No. I did worry when they went up to the halfway with the ball to put it down, but it was just Kilmarnock doing a bit of shithousery. but it was when the referee pointed like that, I was like, oh, shit, they've scored. I was like, No, it's fine. The ball went back. I was like, right, good.
Yeah.
But that was good. So, great performance. And now let's hear, it's not from John, it is from Paul.
Paul managed to get back-to-back wins a few weeks ago, and then the aim this week was to get back-to-back home wins. And you've done that. You must be delighted.
Yeah, 3 wins out of four. Obviously, the Celtic game stuck in the middle there, in the middle Wednesday. But I thought we bounced back really, really well from there. It's never easy going to Celtic Park. We rested a few players in that game, and I think it showed today with the players coming back in, you know, the two white players coming back in there. I thought they were absolutely sensational the first half. Me and John have had some great performances since our 3.5 years since we've been here, and that's certainly right up there with them. I thought the boys were absolutely outstanding the first 45 minutes. The pace, the energy, really, really got to Kilmarnock and scored 3 great goals.
15 points now after having played every other team in the league. Spoke to John pre-match, who said that, you know, the aim was to try and get 15 points after this first round of games. It must be pleasing to be able to hit that target.
Yeah, 15 is a great total if you get, you know, 3:15s. You're up at 45 with the five games still to go. But we know it'll be really difficult the second 11 games. Teams will know a wee bit more about us. We will just try and keep improving. And as I say, that first half must have been fantastic for the supporters to watch that. And again, the fans were really behind the boys right from the start today.
A few wee changes in the team as well in that first half. Blew Kilmarnock away, and then had the luxury of being able to bring on players like Dylan Tate and Scott Arfield in the second half as well. It must be good to be able to bring on players of that calibre.
Yeah, we looked at it before the Dundee game, the three games in the week, so we looked at that. We prepared for the Dundee game, and as I say, the Celtic game, we left a few boys out, and I think, the correct decisions were made, and as I say, the boys came in full energy today. The energy in that first half was unbelievable. And again, Ethan Ross and Alfie coming on gives us great pace in the wide areas. Dylan coming onto the game there, and Scotty Arfield, as you say, giving us that wee bit of experience in there. And you could go through every player individually. I thought Henry Cartwright had a fantastic game. I've just heard Phil's interview there, and Phil's been fantastic since he's coming today, and since he's coming to the team, and probably playing out of position and done a great job at left back.
Just a word on these loan players that have come in at the start of the season. They all seem to have settled in really, really quickly.
Yeah, they've settled in, and again, that's probably down to the players that were already here. They've settled these boys in really well. It's a tight group. As we've always had a real tight group, a good squad in that changing room, and these boys have fitted in really well. And like Sir Brad, have taken them under their wing, and they're doing a great job for us.
So there you go, Paul Smith there. I wonder what John was up to. He was probably just too busy. He's now he's just above Falkirk TV now, because he's doing all the TV and all that sort of stuff now. But he was looking. The go up continues. He had a wee three quarter length jacket on yesterday. He was looking the part with it. Still going with the cap though. The cap is back, which is good to see, because it's not John McGowan without the cap, is it?
No, he needs the cap. Even if he's got a black trench coat on, he needs the cap.
Just disappointed the Puma Kings have gone now, though. He's went for the proper manager shoes. You know what I mean? It's like, honestly, every week I'm like Gok Gwan saying, what's John wearing today?
He's always added something to the outfit. Every week there's something new or something different. So
something new in the repertoire,
He's been inspired, obviously. Tam's been sorting him out.
I bet Tam's got him a cheeky discount to be inspired. Absolutely 100%. Good to hear from Paul then. Let's go into your comments now, and we're kicking off with Paul, actually, who says, the loan signings people were panicked about won the game today. John knows his stuff.
Maybe that was Paul Smith.
No, it wasn't.
Scott says, really good first half. Refreshing to see us take command of the game and early instead of fighting back from behind. A very deserved fifth in the table after 11 games.
Yep, Stephen says, hopefully now finally finding our feet in this league. Onwards and upwards.
Indeed. Now, we've got a comment here for Craig, which did raise some...
By the way, there was a bit of a pile on in Craig. I saw this.
Yeah, there was a bit here. So Craig says, 10 out of 10 first half, 1 out of 10 second half. Luckily, we had such a lead from the first half, it was in no real danger. But a real worry was how Kilmarnock found a way to nullify us. I would expect they'll play the way they did in the second half the next time we meet. See, before it, you guys comment here, right? I'll give you my tuppence worth.
Right.
I think it was a 10 out of 10 first half. I think 1 out of 10 is really harsh, right? 1 out of 10.
We did create chances. We just talked about the chances we created in that.
We didn't create a lot in the second half. No. A couple of half chances, right? But from a defensive perspective, I thought we did really, really well. 1 out of 10 for me is getting pumped 6-0 away at Queen's Park. That's 1 out of 10 for me, right?
Yep.
Now, he mentions there about Kilmarnock finding a way. Well, what have we done at halftime every game? We've changed the way we played, and we've either got something at the game or we're not. That's all Kilmarnock did. And I thought we were really resolute. I thought we were really resolute. So I'll hand it over to you guys. What's your thoughts on Craig's comments?
I agree with you. 1 out of 10 is if we got beat 5-3, which we clearly didn't. No, we kept them at bay. They didn't offer too much except for the offside goal and the foul. A couple of good shots, fine. But no, 1 out of 10 is unfair to be politically correct. I would give us maybe a 6 from an overall perspective, probably 7 from a... And a defensive and 5-4 or 5 for an offensive perspective. But
is that just that? Is that just your second half review? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know, I'm with you on that as well. So, poor Craig got a bit of a pie on for that one. I saw in the comments. So,
God forbid you have your own opinion, eh?
I know, for goodness sake. Right, Robert says, what a first half, so comfortable. The wingers in front line will quite rightly take the head of the importance, but can we please give some airtime to Lisa? Now, we haven't talked about Phil. I know, Ross, shaking your head. But what a put in Robert goes in, what a player, sensational with the ball at his feet, looking so composed, comfortable at left back. That boy's feet are phenomenal. There was a wee bit he did. He switches the ball from left to right and just, I think... you know, my love for Leon McCann, but you can't take Phil out of the team. You know, he's so right footed, mind you. But, and it's when he gets to the byline, it's like he doesn't do like a cross, he does like, you know, because it's easy just to fire it across with your kind of side foot into the box. But I do think the energy he brings and getting up and down that line, I think he was great. And I thought he was great again yesterday.
We were saying that earlier on as well. I think he's made the position his for now. And it's not, as you said, John, Leon has been phenomenal, right? So it's, looking at the goalkeeping situation, we've got two very competent people who can play left back now. And I won't bastardise his name, but Philippe, I thought... Philippe. I thought he was fantastic. And as you said, his feet and tight positions is brilliant.
Yeah, he did the right-left thing twice in the first half. He didn't quite get away with it in the second half. He kind of wised up a little bit in the second half. But I'm with you guys. I'm a huge fan of Leon, both his play and him as a person. And but similar to how Sean Mackey got the jersey last year, he just played well. You can't really take a player that's playing well out of the team unless he's injured. So as long as he keeps his performances up and he stays fit, there's no reason why we should change him.
Yeah,
I agree.
Neil
says, Henry Cartwright, nothing further to add.
Another point we've not really talked about as well is Henry. I'd mentioned him at the start. In fact, I think when Henry's in midfield, Brad plays better, but he just got himself around the park. He didn't do anything spectacular. He just kind of enforced in the middle of the park yesterday.
Yeah, he was solid. And he had a few nibbles at the Kelly players quite early in the match, which I thought if he'd got a yellow card, he would have been in a bit of trouble because it would have kind of dampened him a bit for the rest of the game, but he managed to avoid that. And now he was, again, another great performance. I do like him. I really like him. It's tough to have Dylan and Tim, and who do you play? But if you can rotate them well with Brad, and they're both happy with it.
It depends on the game. I think it really depends on the game, who you play. Gareth says, outstanding, waited a long time to get one over Kelly. Yes, that was the first time in 29 years we have beaten them in the league at Falkirk, which is a frightening stat. The last time was when we beat them when Mo Johnson scored along with Dominic Ioffa and Tony Finnegan. What a stat that is.
Scary. Craig says, joint third. I hope you both have a valid passport. Well,
very good.
We're not fifth or joint third. I'm on board that train, that's for sure.
We're not on the. It's the plane now, James. It's not the plane, it's the plane that's. We're on board now, Rob. Jesus Christ. Let's just keep our feet on the ground. Brendan says, pretty much a faultless first half. Sure, it would have been nice if we kept the foot on the gas for a second, but let's face it, we didn't need to. And the boys did more than enough to secure a comfortable win. Great performance.
Indeed. KNZIM8 on X says, as much as the first half was excellent, I'm so impressed with the second half. They're resilient to get through that.
Yeah, and we'd have said the Navy Blue 3, the Bonnie Blue scudded.
I'm sure he was thinking of another word if it was Bonnie Blue. And finally, Vicky says...
No idea what you're talking about, mate.
Indeed. Yeah, John was telling me about it. And finally, Vicky says she is very much on the Wayne plane.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Oh, there you go. Let's go through the Falkirk Daft rated and the Falkirk Dafties then. Falkirk Daft rated for you, Ross Wayne.
For yesterday, has to be Ethan Williams for me. Yeah. Fantastic finish and set up a goal. And as we said earlier on, he's got like such a brilliant first touch.
Yeah, not scared to take a shot as well, as we saw, which is indeed good, because something we don't do an awful lot of. Him and Wilson seem to don't mind doing that. And like you see, for the second goal, you take a shot, you never know what's going to happen. McKeever scored a great striker's goal. Who's it for you, James?
It's Calvin for me. I've really liked him in the 10. Assisted and scored, as did Ethan, obviously. I'm really pleased with Calvin playing in the middle there. He gets that bit of pace that you know Arfield doesn't have anymore, but still making the passes that Arfield would make as well. So, Calvin for me.
Yeah, it's interesting. Calvin Miller was actually up in the 1876 lounge after the match, and I actually meant to ask is the question, you know, do you prefer playing on the wing or the 10? I meant to ask that question. It slipped my mind. But yeah, I think certainly, you know, he looked like, again, a goal and an assist for him yesterday and then a goal and assist for Williams. I'm going to give it to Williams, though, because I do think overall he was the standout player on the park for me yesterday. I thought he was all over the place. His energy, you know, his touch, the way he finished that goal and the assist as well. So, yeah, it's Ethan Williams just for me, but Calvin is a very, very close run second because, you know, there was a ball here between the two of them. So there you go, Ethan Williams, first Falkirk Daft rated nomination. So there you go, well done, Ethan. Dafty, who gets the Dafty?
I don't have one from a footballing perspective, but can I throw one out? So after the game, as you know, John, you were hosting solo yesterday. Just walking back to the car with Amelia, and obviously there's thousands of people getting out of the stadium. I do have a portion of this is on the council. What a, like an absolute fuck up it is trying to leave the stadium by foot or by car or whatever, right? However, thousands of people leaving were walking over towards the fire station way to head to the car at the college, right? And some absolute arsehole, and I'm happy if he's I'm sure he was a Falkirk fan leaving the stadium, right? He put his foot down and he almost knocked over like 25 folk. Like, what an idiot. Just if you're in such a hurry, just fuck off early, like leave the game and go early. Do not put people at risk by putting your foot down with hundreds of people trying to cross a road. Do you know what I mean? Just come on, be sensible.
Well said. So Dafty in car at the stadium, that's good. I could nominate myself for Dafty because I was standing in reception waiting to get down the road yesterday and Sam Hart passed me. I said, I don't know why he said, it's the way he said, well played today, Sam. I said, what are you talking about, mate? I don't have played as much minutes as you. I was like, so you did.
Brilliant.
So he took it in good stead. So yeah, but we'll go with the Dafty in the car. But I don't know why instinctively I just sort of said, well played to this. I meant like the in terms of the whole team and stuff like that, but then he's like, no, I played as much as you, mate.
From a footballing perspective, you could probably go all the way Yemi then go in goal for Kamara, but other than that, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
He was much less a potent than he should have been.
No, absolutely. Right, okay then, that's us just about done. But before we tie a bow on this week's episode, we've got to first of all do Falkirk Daft versus. James, did you play the last time you were?
I did.
Yeah, did you?
Oh, yeah, you did. Actually.
Did.
Sorry,
who did you play against?
I think it was Ross.
It was Ross. And did you win? I can't remember.
No, okay.
Well, let's see if you can win today because you're up against Ross again and I have your questions. You know how it works. Penalty style shootout. Ross, have you got something to write down on?
All sorted, yes.
All sorted.
You've got see, he's board. Got the boards.
He's got the boards there. Well done, lad. Right, so I've got five questions and it's like a penalty shootout. If it's a draw, then we have a closest two. Right, so first question. And are all Falkirk Kilmarnock based this week. Who captained Falkirk at the 1997 Cup Final? Joe Ross has got something written down. James, you got an answer for me? Go for it.
Kevin James.
Kevin James, Ross.
I've went for Jamie McGowan.
One of these is correct, and it's Ross Wayne. It was Jamie McGowan. Led out the team against Kilmarnock. Question number two. In the playoff game at the stadium, who scored for Falkirk in the 1-0 win? In the playoff game against Kilmarnock at the stadium, who scored for Falkirk?
Oh, I was there, obviously.
In the 1-0 win.
Okay, I've got something to do.
We won't talk about the second leg of that playoff. There's a couple of Kilmarnock players in the lounge yesterday, just a little aside, and they kind of, like when Brad Spencer and Calvin Miller were in the lounge, they were up doing their bit and they left while I was doing the chats, and Brad sort of said to Mike, Matt, boring. I said, no, it's just, it's all right. They're Kilmarnock supporters. Everyone booed them as they went out of the lounge. All right, sorry, Ross, what you got written down?
James. Although he was well just giving your answer. I keep thinking of Bob McHugh, but I'm pretty sure that was Hibs. I know it was Hibs, but I'll say Bob McHugh.
Bob McHugh, Ross.
I've went with Will Vaux.
Will Vaux is the correct answer. 2-0. Come on, didn't let this be a granny. Need this one to stay in it, James. You need Ross to trip up. Okay, it's a who am I? And Ross said that he patented this. I've done this before he did. So here is who am I? Having played two spells at Falkirk, I've had two spells at Falkirk and made my debut in 2010. I've also played for Kilmarnock as well as the likes of Partick Thistle and Stenismuir. Who am I? As well as having two spells at Falkirk and making my debut in 2010, I have also played for Kilmarnock as well as the likes of Partick Thistle and Stenhousemuir. Who am I? Debut at Falkirk 2010.
And he's played
two spells.
Partick
Thistle and Kilmarnock.
Oh, I know who it is. Oh, right. No, wait.
Right, then come on, guys. James, you're looking like you've no idea who this player is.
I've got players' names that I know I've played for Falkirk and Steny.
But... Oh, my memory's shot. I'm terrible at this. I'm absolutely terrible at this.
No, it's not him.
I don't think I had two spells both, either.
No,
both out.
I would say Buchanan just to throw somebody out.
Yeah. Ross, you want to throw a name out? Nah.
Connor Salmon.
Nope. Blair Alston.
Alston.
There we go. Right. Okie dokie.
You can still tie.
And this
I'm not going in, but I can still tie.
If you get this one right, Ross, you win. Who was the last man to manage both Falkirk and Kilmarnock? Who was the last man to manage both Falkirk and Kilmarnock?
Oh.
I've got one name and I'm the pointless changing it because I've no idea other than this.
Right,
name.
Ross, so what you got written down? What you written down at Ross?
I've written with Gary Hope.
Gary Hope?
But I've written with Gary Hope.
That is wrong. What are you thinking, James?
I thought Jim Jeffries.
They're both wrong. Which means it's a Ross win. Alex Totten, of course.
That long ago?
Yeah. So Alex Totten.
Did Jim Jeffries manage?
I had something Jim in my head that he did.
Jim Jeffries didn't manage Kilmarnock, but Alex Totten obviously was the last one to manage.
All right.
So there you go. Well done, Ross. It's a win for you. Champions League music is playing. James, thank you so much for being a guest pundit today.
No problem.
Thanks very much for your time. Are you coming to Falkirk Daft Live?
Absolutely.
Smashing.
I was part of the half of Falkirk that got the pre-sale link, so definitely.
Don't feed them.
There we go.
I'll stop getting it
at this rate.
Yeah,
you're off the next one.
Honest to God, everyone in Falkirk got the pre-sale. Like, well, listen, thanks for coming. We'll see you on the 29th, mate.
You will indeed. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much to James. Always good to have him on the podcast. And it's another one for you and Falkirk Daft, Ross.
Wow. Do you know Blair Alston? How did I not get Blair Alston?
I know. I thought they did the debut in 2010, the two appearances. So we also do, if you want an 1876 lounge, we also do the Falkirk Daft versus on the 1876 lounge. Mark, who was in yesterday, had an absolute nightmare when it was a whitewash yesterday. I think Mark doesn't really have a massive knowledge of Falkirk and just quite enjoys coming to the Falkirk games, so yeah, an absolute nightmare in the lounge yesterday. But yeah, here we go. Before we go and like get up the road, thank you very much to the Falkirk football fans and training. Ian and the boys always on board with the podcast. They've been going for the last 10 years. And you can get involved with them 8:30 to 9:30 at the stadium. We've got the Academy, Legends and Elite sections, and we've got the over 50 section now as well. So if you want to get involved, make new pals, help your mental health, lose a bit of weight, it's all there for you with the Falkirk Football fans and training and the T8s. So get down to the stadium right now, Wednesday, 8:30 to 9:30. Get involved with the boys. And if you want to get in touch with them, get in touch with Ian, Wally, or Doogie, who I just saw is in Australia just now. Very nice. So get in touch with any of the three of them. They will be in the links below. The link's there. Get in touch with the boys. Get along to the stadium and enjoy yourself with the Falkirk football fans in training and the T8s. And talking about actually the foundation, the woman we didn't mention, Falkirk woman, had an 8-0 trouncing in the Scottish Cup of Bucky Thistle today. Go on, the girls.
Fantastic. No, listen, Scottish Cup, here they go. So the next round, I believe, is towards the end of November. Actually, I think it may be the day after Falkirk Daft Live, because there was chat about the girls coming along to Falkirk Daft Live. However, it was all dependent on this Scottish Cup run. And so needless to say, they will need to be sober.
Oh, that's a shame.
So they won 8-0, so the two goals prior to that were 6-7. Six.
Honestly did this banter at the football yesterday. How many more minutes to go? 6-7. I'm like, oh my god, Ross, you're not a 10-year-old child. So yeah, if you have children, you'll know exactly what we're talking about. But yeah, no, brilliant for the women. And we should all actually add as well that because Celtic got through in the League Cup today, the Celtic game is going to be moved because that's the weekend of the League Cup final. So you've got a free weekend in December so you can enjoy your Christmas parties or what have you.
Unless a game is brought forward.
That is very true. So the weekend of the 13th, 14th at the moment is free for all Bairns to enjoy the festivities and get yourself up to behind the wall. There you go. Maybe we could have a wee day out then, Ross. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Remember we did the Falkirk Daft pub crawl?
Pub crawl was a brilliant day. That was ahead of the TNS.
That was ahead of the TNS game. We can maybe do the Falkirk Daft pub crawl. Leave it with us. We'll think of something. We might look back on that, actually. Falkirk Daft, quite up for the Falkirk Daft pub crawl again. Even if it's just me and you getting steaming, Ross. It could be a wee Falkirk Daft Christmas night out, like Works Night Out. There you go. Invite all our former guest pundits and we'll go in the Falkirk pub crawl. Let's do it. Brilliant. But listen, thank you very much for watching or listening, whatever you get your podcast. You can maybe get Christmas jumpers on our merch store. I'm going to look into that, but I think we can get Falkirk Daft Christmas jumpers. I'm going to look into that. But if you want to buy Falkirk Daft merch, get it at merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk or pintsandprints.co.uk. You'll get the Falkirk Daft collection up there. We need to get some more ideas over to Gordon Hall, who you heard earlier in the show, and get some t-shirts made up, I think. Maybe for Christmas, we could get that made up. There we go. We'll think about that. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for listening. We're going to get up the road. The next game is against Livingston, and the preview will be out this Thursday. Sorry, apologies as well for the lack of Captain Conqueror, as promised last week, because Captain Conqueror had to pull out at the last minute. But hopefully for something special, we are going to be speaking to Stuart Barry, who we've spoken to in the past, but I am hoping to grab that big galoot, Marvin Bartley, for a special sit down with him ahead of the Livingston game, the assistant manager there, because he owes me one, because he pulled out of his shift at the very last minute today because he's away to do Man City Bournemouth for BBC Solent or something like that. So Marv owns me one, so hopefully I'll catch up with him this week and we'll maybe get a preview with Livingston assistant manager and get the ins and outs of Livingston from this season. But yeah, thanks very much for watching, thank you very much for listening, and until next time on Falkirk Daft,
expect unexpected, buddy.
We're folk of Daft, we're folk of Daft, talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're folk of Daft, we're folk of Daft, you can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. We're folk of Daft, we're folk of Daft, for everyone who's kidding about being a folk of Daft. We're folk of Daft.